Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Nacho Tuesday. Today I have Francesca here with Amity. She's the chief operating officer over there, and a co-founder as well. And without further ado, we would love if you could introduce yourself and Amity and what you guys do over there.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity of being with you today. Yes, I'm the co-founder and co-CEO of Amity. So Amity is a tech company that enables brands and organizations around the world to increase engagement in their apps or websites. So what we do is that we, provide them with all the technology and the know-how that they need to make their digital platforms super engaging and increase revenues. So we do so by giving them pre-built social features. So, capabilities that can be very easily add to any existing app or website. Then we enable them to collect a lot of first-party data. And of course, this unlocks, powerful AI insights that can be translated into impact to drive business decisions and unlock new revenue channels. So that's about it.
Very cool. All right. Yeah, and we did a pretty big event last week in New York for New York Tech Week as well, too. So I made a big splash out here in the U.S. markets.
Yes, I heard from my team. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there myself, but I heard that the event was a success and that everybody was, had a lot of fun and there were a lot of people joining.
Absolutely. And tell us about how you got to where you're at in your career. What led you guys to start Amity?
Wow. So how I got to Amity almost as a coincidence. So truth is that I went to law school. I started my career working in international law firms. So I come from a very different background than tech. A few years ago, I was working in consulting, and then coincidentally, I got connected with Korawat, that is, my co-founder. I just got very, very, impressed by how driven he was and how passionate he was about, starting his own project. And I guess I just, got so inspired that I decided to drop everything and move to Thailand, because that's where, we started the company at first. Korawat is Thai. And we figured that since we were, building a tech heavy product, it was, just a good idea to start from there for cost reasons and, for existing network. So I decided to join and embark in this new challenge, and it was definitely a big, a big change in my career. My parents freaked out a little bit, but but then eventually, Amity started to grow, and it's definitely a decision that I don't regret. It's actually probably, one of my best calls so far. So I'm having a lot of fun. I'm learning tons, and I discover a passion for entrepreneurship.
Yeah, as parents always do, until you show them what you can do, you know what I mean? So look at where you guys are at now. So where are you guys based out of? So you guys still, I know some of your team members are still in Thailand. You're in London. How do you guys describe your team?
We are a very global company, to be honest. So most of our R&D is based in Asia. So our, Bangkok is our tech hub. We have there most of our engineering team and product teams. And then we have, smaller offices around the world. We have London, Milan, San Francisco, and a few other people spread around, Brazil, Indonesia. So we try to, provide support to customers in local time zones. So we have, sales team, customer success teams, and, technical support pretty much in every continent. But now, most of our job and our, in general, interactions with customers are remote.
Very cool. Yeah. As any good company these days should be, because, with recent advances in technology and kind of the forced behavior of COVID, it kind of allowed a lot of companies to realize that you can get anything done from anywhere in the world. So that's great to hear about. So I know user engagement is very important for what you guys offer for Amity. In your opinion, what is the best way to get users engaged with your app if you have a SaaS company or an app?
So there are definitely there are many ways, but I think that the secret sauce is really, adding real value to them. and making sure that the experience that they have, you know, with the app is high quality and is personalized. So, you know, the great majority of users abandon an app after the first use or within the first month from downloading it, which is, you know, quite interesting if you think about how much it costs to companies acquiring that user in the first place, right? And this happened because the experience that they have, it's so, you know, low quality, it's so static. You know, they open this app for the first time and they can't really do anything. They don't feel, you know, that they can express their opinion, personalize their experience. They get, you know, to interact, for example, with people that share their interest. So I think that social networks really made us very spoiled in terms of the quality of the digital experiences that we want to have. So users expect, you know, their interaction with an app to be as engaging or at least, you know, somewhere close to the level of engagement that you can experience on a social media platform. Otherwise, they just don't feel compelled to keep using that product, right? So we always recommend to our customers to really look into, hey, what's the value that they are adding to the users, and definitely never compromise in terms of quality of the digital experience.
Yep. And that's a good point too, actually. I think you could learn a lot from other industries or other, you know, even product categories. So, you know, I always say a lot, you know, we're a B2B company. You guys have a lot of B2B clients as well. You could even learn a lot from B2C companies and what they're doing. And to your point, social networking and how some B2C marketers are very good at building community and whatnot. And I think, you know, community is going to be so powerful going forward, given the fact that it's easier than ever to launch new apps and new companies. So the market's just getting flooded with, you know, thousands and thousands of SaaS products. So if you're able to build a community, I think, and network effects, if you will, it gives you a really strong competitive advantage to be able to actually, you know, attract customers and then retain them in one place. So I guess, you know, with that said, engagement's so critical for the success of a product. Why do you think so?
I mean, I couldn't agree more with what you said in terms of the importance of communities, right? So I really believe that, you know, behind every successful brand, there is actually a community. There is a set of people that have something in common that, you know, like feel represented by the brand, by the values, by what they provide, what they stand for, right? And actually being able to leverage these communities, engage these people and really use them, you know, as a sounding board, as a you know, beta testers, as advisors. So the relationship that the brand is able to build with that communities is probably the most precious thing that the brand can create, right? So for me, it's just, you know, our technology is a way for brands to build that relationship and to do it in a very curated digital environment. So the truth is the great majority of online engagement for brands and organizations today is a bit monopolized by social networks, because social media are usually the place where a brand would go to connect with their digital communities, right? They would create Facebook groups or, you know, subreddits. But that is a very, very, you know, poor experience both for the brand and the users, because there is a lot of control that, you know, is given away by the brand. So they very often don't know, for example, you know, who is part of a group. There is very little moderation. There is a lot of spam, a lot of fake news. So the secret sauce, in our opinion, for the brand to really own and curate the relationship with their communities is actually to build that within their own digital platforms, right? And this adds a lot of value, not only to the brand, but also to the users, because they will have a very high quality experience that is really crafted for them. And that's really a way to boost engagement very quick.
Yeah, and I think the ability for you to customize, you know, the integration, so it integrates with their systems really well. I'm sure you guys also get a lot of really custom analytics and details and how people are using it, what works, what doesn't, that really, you know, will support the brand's efforts to really build that community internally. I think, you know, you kind of miss that on some of the external social networks, the verticalized approach, if you will.
100%. That's entirely correct. And, you know, like I like to position our product also as a way to really enable your community to build your roadmap for you, your product strategy for you, because having that data and that, you know, real time picture of what your customers think about the product, what are the pain points, what are the feedback, really allows you to build a connection with them that was unavailable before. And in social media, it's very hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and onboarding's going to be really important for that. So I guess with that said, what do businesses get wrong with their efforts to get users engaged with their apps? And what tips do you have for onboarding users properly?
So first, I mean, of course, there are a lot of, strategies that we saw being successful in the past on our experience with customers. But definitely there is not only one recipe that fits, every type of company, right? So it's really a lot has to do with what are your goals and what, your business wants to achieve. But what I can say that is very important is definitely curating the initial, the initial launch strategy for your community and for your onboarding journey very carefully. So something that we always recommend the brands to do is to put a lot of efforts into, adding value and hence created, for example, the right type of contents, spending time making sure that the experience is, it feels authentic, it feels relevant, it's curated, it's safe for users. So it's just about focusing on quality. And sometimes, there is this common belief that the more you make an app feature-rich, the more people will like to use it, right? In my opinion, this is very wrong because sometimes, you can use an app for the first time and feel very overwhelmed by the amount of features that are just popping up and tabs that are available, right? So for me, it's not about the amount of features, but actually the quality of the contents and the interactions that you can add. So we always recommend our customers to start with a few key use cases and really, nail them and make sure that users are really, really engaged, and then actually listen to their user feedback to see what are other use cases to launch.
Yeah, that's a great point too. And especially for new products launching or even a new community. I interviewed the CEO of Belkin's community a couple of weeks ago as well. One thing he recommended was, that kind of the handholding process, I guess, for onboarding new users, especially in a community where, you actually talk with them, you engage with them, you make them feel comfortable, like they're welcome into the community, all their questions are answered even. And from that, you can create a stickiness, I guess, if you will, where, people actually feel valued and want to be a part of it, and they will stick around, and other people that come in next after them are much more likely to stick as well too.
True. It is also really about, making your customers and your community feel valuable and feel, important also in the decision-making process, right? So what the internet is allowing us to do is really giving customers voice and making them, feel that they can participate in the relationship with the brand, right? So we don't want to be passive anymore. We want to have a very active role in us shaping, the direction, the strategic directions of the brands that we love. And so this is something that becomes very, very important when you're looking at making sure that your customers are engaged with the brand and within your community.
Yeah, and that's very important too. A lot of people might think that B2B companies can't really do this, software companies, but with tools like what you guys provide, it's definitely possible. And I think, going forward, just to reiterate the point from earlier, I think that's going to be one of the game changing strategies going forward is, how to build a community around your product, because that's what's going to help you really differentiate in the market going forward with all these, thousands of other similar Me Too products out there.
100%. But also what I'm seeing, something that is very interesting is also seeing that this, investing time in building these communities adds value to the brand in so many different ways, because every time that you have very, very loyal customers, they become pretty much an extension of your sales team. Yep. Because they will actually spend time, referring the product to other customers and asking. So something that I sometimes like to spend time on is just, browsing around different public support forums for, different software products. So if you go, for example, on Apple support forum or OpenAI, you would see that there are so many, so many power users that actually really do spend time, you know, making sure that other people have a good experience, but they are absolutely not paid to do it nor incentivized. They do it out of genuine, you know, passion for the brand. And this is, I mean, what can be more powerful than this for a brand? It's really brand awareness and you know, reaching out new potential customers for free just because of the investment that you make in the relationship with your customers.
Yeah, they call that a high net promoter score. a lot of people just want to be a part of something, you know what I mean? And you might think it's trivial enough, but you know, if you're launching a cool product and some people are really excited about it, sometimes it's so easy to kind of ignore that and just see them as like a customer, a number, something like that. But if you see them as like a co-partner, I guess, in the growth of your company, you know, you switch the narrative to, you know, seeing these people as really, you know, on your side, a part of your community, and you actually listen to your customers too, right? You can really grow something special. And I think, you know, that's where a lot of people kind of fail. They think a lot of entrepreneurs, because they'll build a product and they think if you build it, they will come, right? So they get really excited about the features, to your point, you know, just loading up a bunch of features and showing all the cool things they can do as an engineer. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't really connect with the customers because, you know, they don't feel like it's really connecting with their problem that they're trying to solve. And, you know, they don't really connect with the brand. And, you know, they might, because of that, might bounce and look somewhere else. They might not give you the time of day to actually learn about how great and amazing your product really is.
Agree. I mean, there is nothing more important than fostering the right connection with your customers, right? And listening to them and trying to understand, you know, what are the pain points that they are facing and what are the issues that they have with the product, right? For us, it's very important, particularly because we, you know, mostly sell SDKs and APIs, which means that the product needs to be integrated with, you know, the platform that our customers use. And this process is a process that it's very important for us that it's perceived as very easy and the customers don't, you know, get stuck or overwhelmed in the middle of it, right? So we spend a lot of time trying to understand how we can improve it and making sure that the product goes, you know, in the right direction in terms of serving the customers in the best way possible. So we do also, you know, as Amity, really treasure these interactions.
Yeah. And do you guys offer like onboarding services yourself? Like, do you guys have like an implementation team that will actually work with your engineers to kind of help smooth out that process?
We do. So the goal for us is really to make the, you know, the integration and the onboarding process as straightforward as possible. So this is something that we, you know, invest a lot of our resources on in terms of providing UI kits, providing onboarding guides, and making sure that we want to democratize this kind of technology. So social features and in general digital communities are extremely difficult to launch because the feature set required is very difficult to develop, right? Right? So the whole goal of the company is making this feature set accessible to everybody. So we want the integration process to be very simple. But of course, we also have, you know, professional services teams and technical support teams that can work with the customers shoulder to shoulder to make sure that this is, you know, it runs very smooth. And we go all the way to being able to potentially take care of the integration and the onboarding for them.
Great. And I guess what kind of features are your customers most excited about today?
So, I mean, we provide the whole, you know, suite of so-called social features. So everything that ranges from, you know, chat, discussion forums, social feed, profiles. We recently released video modules. So we support video stories, live streaming, live commerce. So I have to say that these are becoming very, very popular because video is, you know, is probably the most engaging social feature so far. Yeah. So more and more companies are looking into integrating that into their bills. And then as you said before, I mean, we also allow customers to access a lot of data, right? So the way we are using AI primarily is to transform this data into insights. So really, you know, helping customers to like, guide their business decisions and, you know, increasing revenues. So this is probably the bit that our customers are the most excited about because it's removing a huge chunk of effort for them to analyze these data and actually transform them into something valuable. So we do that for them.
That's very cool. Next time we do an event, we'll have to do a live stream portion of it too and use Andy. So anybody that can't be in New York, maybe they're in London, right? They could tune into the event as well.
That would be very cool.
Awesome. And I guess, what other tips can you offer for building and sustaining a successful community?
Consistency, for sure. Yeah. So never compromising in terms of quality and in terms of authenticity. So, you know, I think that the key is keeping your community, you know, focused. We see that, you know, communities that are curated and they tend to be, you know, niche probably. So if you're, for example, you know, you are a company that operates in the wellness space, as many of our customers, or you are a financial services companies, it's very important, you know, for your customers to actually know that when you join, they join your community, they will, you know, have very healthy, you know, conversations around these topics, and they will not find, you know, just random ads of mattresses companies or you know, like trolls and people trying to sell things, right?
So Reddit users.
Yes. what is very important is really giving an experience that is curated and, as I said, high quality. So moderating and making sure that you inject in the community the right type of content. So we always recommend to have, you know, at least a very small team that is taking care of fostering, you know, relationship and bringing conversations in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you recommend founders get actively engaged as well? I think it would be, you know, especially for a smaller company, might not have all the resources for a community manager and some of those, you know, very niche specified roles. But, you know, how important is it, I guess, for the founder, for people to be able to connect, I feel like, with the people behind the product?
I think it's amazing. I mean, you know, the more people don't like to talk to companies, people like to talk to people. So the moment that they are able to identify a company with actually real people and put, you know, a face in front of the brand, I think that that's very, very powerful. So we always recommend, you know, it just doesn't take that much effort as many companies would think to actually grow a community. It just takes consistency and you know, a lot of planning, right? So we recommend founders for, you know, smaller companies to engage directly, but for bigger companies, we always recommend to, for example, rely on your partners and give them some space in the community. So put them in on your top, you know, sponsors or your top customers, so you can actually leverage the network that you already have to give a role, you know, to all these companies and people in the community itself. And this is a little bit of a win-win, right? Because it's less work for you, but also a lot of exposure for your brand partners.
Yeah, that's a great point too. And we try to do a lot of that too at Nacho Nacho. And I definitely agree that it works. You know, it makes, you know, the partners feel engaged. You know, and every brand could really do that too, right? And to your point, I think, you know, a lot of people think B2B companies are like very, like just a brand logo and it's very businessy. But I think more now than ever, especially with, you know, newer generations, millennials and below, it's very important to have that connection with the people behind the brand, because I think, you know, a lot more people are making decisions based on, you know, based on that connection with the people behind the company too. And they're making a lot more even emotional decisions in terms of which brands that, or products they want to choose and work with.
100%. That's why it's so important, you know, to really pick which values you want to be associated with your brand and be very consistent in reiterating that message and being true to it, right? Because as you were saying, you know, particularly younger generations are looking more and more into, you know, picking brands, making very, very informed decisions and actually picking brands that represent, you know, values that they align with, right? So that's for sure something that the community can help you foster.
Yeah, that's a great point too. So I guess, where does monetization play into this, right? So let's say you're building a community. I know you guys kind of specialize in that as well too, as one of your feature sets. What monetization tips do you have for somebody that's building a community and launching a software app?
So there are a lot of ways of monetizing, you know, a community. And for us, the most important thing is making sure that the investment that the customers make, it actually, you know, buying our technology and building the community itself, it's always ROI positive, right? So we see this as a way for them to unlock new revenues in many different ways. And what is very interesting that, you know, the main avenues to do that is definitely not, you know, running random ads. Yeah. Of course, it's one of the possible ways of doing so, right? But so first, every time that you have an engaged in-app communities, you unlock, you know, you collect a lot of first-party data, and first-party data are extremely precious because you can get to understand your customers better, and then you can understand how to pretty much sell more because you can serve them better. You can, you know, ship new products and features that align more with their expectations. You can correct mistakes. So this is, of course, the data lock possibilities in terms of embedded commerce touch points, launching tailored campaigns, and really looking into growing, you know, existing revenues. The other thing that is very important for us, we offer, you know, premium partner placements and the possibility for partners to actually, as I was saying before, play a role in your community, right? So imagine, you know, for example, that you are an insurance company. You can potentially, you know, invite some of your top partners to host premium discussion forums, or just, you know, put their brand out there and be exposed to your community. And this is a very, very easy way for you know, customers to monetize. And the other thing that becomes available is, of course, premium content and subscription. So not everything in your community has to be necessarily free of charge, right? So you can decide that maybe bits of it to access to, you know, very premium discussion forums or live streamings. This is something that, you know, users could potentially pay for. So a lot of different ways for quick monetization become available. Everything starts by having cool, you know, in-app metrics and increasing engagement somehow.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny. I met this CEO one time running a tech company, and he said, "I know social, I don't need data." And I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely. You need data because 99% of your people are leaving the app on the first day."
Which is crazy. Like, this is something that people, you know, when I go, I join a lot of conferences and events. And sometimes when I'm in marketers events, everybody is focused on customer acquisition. So it's one of the super, super, you know, hot topics. Hey, how do we acquire new customers? But for me, it would be more important to focus on actually customer retention. Because if we, you know, if we invest millions in acquiring customers and then they dropped after a week, it's just wasting money, right?
Yeah.
So it's about how do we engage them and how do we keep them happy?
Yeah, and it's a worthless KPI if they don't stick around, right?
Exactly.
Or if they don't, you know, move down the funnel and actually start using the other features, maybe, you know, find a way to monetize them. And even if your community, you know, you're not monetizing your community specifically, you know, that's a great way, like we mentioned before, to just get users engaged with your product. Absolutely. And with your brand, and then, you know, let that engagement kind of turn into a premium upsell later for maybe some of the other features that your core app or product really provides. And you could really use the community as kind of a starting point to get people in, right, and get them using your product in some way.
Exactly. I mean, it always adds value in many different ways, even just to strengthen the relationship that you have with your power customers, right? Along the line, you know, it will always transform itself into, you know, more revenues for the brand, and definitely a lot of insights that can be very, very important.
So I guess what books would you recommend for somebody that's kind of starting from scratch and they're really excited about today's webinar interview and they say, you know, I want to create a great product. How do I get my users engaged with my app or my community? Or how do I have better UX myself?
It's a great question. I would say I would recommend definitely our eBooks. I mean, it's an easy one, but, you know, we invest a lot of time in putting together great contents. And the reason is that it's not just about, you know, selling our product, but it's actually about educating, you know, companies out there on the importance of investing on their brand communities, right? I really believe, I mean, maybe I'm a bit naive, but I really believe on the power of communities, of being a positive change maker, in general, for the world to be a better place, but also for us to be better human beings, because we are inherently social animals. So we like to, you know, experience sense of belonging, feel part of something. And we are also inspired by positive examples of people around us, right? So we build, you know, we publish quite a few books, ebooks, to guide people in this community journey. So they are available on our website and they are available on our social channels. So I would definitely suggest to start from there.
So you guys definitely practice what you preach.
Yes.
Now, are these premium eBooks or can I just go in and get them?
You can just go and get them. So they are all free of charge. Probably you would have to maybe sign up to download them, but to our newsletter, so it's nothing paid. You can definitely, you know, cancel your subscription at any time.
Yep. So anything else you'd like potential customers to know about Amity and why they should choose your platform today and head over to amity.co and sign up for it, of course?
I think, I mean, it's really something that can add value to any app or digital platform out there. So I really believe that, you know, we are going in a direction where social features and in-app community features are going to become hopefully, you know, one of the core features of any app, as before was probably with search or with, you know, really a home screen for any app. So, I mean, as Amity, we are really trying to, you know, dominate somehow this vertical and always being very open to customer feedback and making sure that, you know, we shape the roadmap of the product in a direction that really is dictated by our customer. So if, you know, a company is looking to transform their app into something that is super engaging and also driving new revenues, they should definitely have a look at Amity.
Awesome. And what's next over the next 5 years, I guess, for you guys?
I mean, for us, it's really keep working hard. So again, we always try to anticipate the need of the market in terms of, you know, defining our roadmap, but it's also spending a lot of time making sure that our main, you know, our customers grow their communities over time and they are very successful with the product. So for us, it's not only, you know, kind of selling our features, but we have a huge interest also in seeing that feature set, you know, used as a base of a very, very successful community. So we don't abandon our customers after the sign of the contract, but we actually, you know, work with them very closely to make sure that their communities are, you know, engaged and you know, they become viral and they get a lot of traction month after month. So for us, you know, we like, we internally we have this thing we like to say that we want to be the biggest social network that nobody has heard of. So it's kind of the goal for Amity, like keep powering communities everywhere.
Well, sounds like you guys got a good North Star and you guys got a good you know, values behind your company, which you know, definitely comes out in the product and everything that you build too, which I think is a key to success for any entrepreneur. So you know, it's really great to hear your backstory and everything today. And you know, I definitely recommend everybody check out Amity. It's a great product. They're a great partner of ours. Once again, through one a great event last week in New York City, and you know, looking forward to growing our brands together. You can learn more about their company today at amity.co. That's amity.co. And you could also pick it up today in Nacho Nacho's B2B SaaS marketplace, the best place to buy SaaS. Once again, Francesca, thank you so much for coming on today, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you.
Well, that was cool.